you in the 06010.
Address this one, Daniel, or do you want me to handle it?
I don't even want to look at him anymore. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah.
For those watching, Fantasy Focus podcast, Field of Matthew and Daniel and Stefania here as well. What we are laughing at, we're not laughing with, to be entirely clear.
Very clear.
Is Matthew looks like he's a couple sangrias in at a wedding right now. And not quite sure, like, if he has the liquid courage to be the star of the dance floor.
Yeah.
But also embarrassing Beth a little bit right now because of his dance
floor. Oh, so let me address this in a couple of ways. So I was doing some version of the Cabin Patch dance to the 06010 theme by international recording superstar Eric Hutchinson. And Field knows of what he speaks. He's seen me with liquid courage on the dance floor.
That's right, I sure have.
I ripped it up at Field and Chapin's wedding. Some... And by some, I mean Field Yates, called me the MVP of wedding weekend. Fair?
It was an excellent showing from you. I mean, seriously, they write books about those kind of performances.
I am fun at a wedding. I will just let you know that. I am fun at a wedding. My wife, Beth, is also amazing at a wedding. Everyone loves her. And I've been embarrassing Beth every day since we've been married. So that's nothing new for her.
Mm, yeah.
You know, it's why my wife enjoys a glass of wine with Stefania all the time. Stefania's been at many weddings with me, by the way, I believe. Stefania can speak to this as well, right, Stefania?
Yes, I can. And usually it's Beth and I hanging out and you embarrassing yourself on the dance floor all by yourself.
Fair enough.
Well, Stefania, yeah. Looks like Matthew's decorum at a wedding is the same as his decorum during a podcast.
Factually correct. I just, you know what I need to do? I was doing Gangnam Style the other day. I was doing Cabbage Patch. I need to learn some of the new dances, the new TikTok dances. I'm starting to get into the TikTok. I'm on the TikTok.
At Matthew Berry TMR.
I've had a couple of my videos go viral, by the way, on the TikTok.
Come on.
I swear to God, look at my TikTok. Look at my TikTok right now. Do you have a TikTok?
No, I deleted that app. Didn't you read the news?
I posted at I did a thing with Daniel Jones. Like, we had this super awkward interview, and it got like 200,000 views.
Is that viral on TikTok?
I think that's a lot of views on TikTok.
It gets like 5 million for
each. Yeah, I'm not a massive star of hip. Like, I have like 1,500 followers on TikTok. I'm just starting.
Okay.
And I did another one the other day that got 700,000 views. Like, I'm in
700K. I'll give you that.
That's a good one. Yeah, so I'm just saying, I'm starting to get there. I'm learning the ways of the talk.
I'm really proud of you, man. Let's talk about some football.
Anyway, follow me on the TikTok because it's the only way that'll impress my daughters. That's all I'm asking.
Aw, he wants more followers on the TikTok. Follow Stefania on the Instagram, StefaniaB87. That's the only account.
No, she changed your name.
I'm sorry.
It's actually, no, it's Stefania Bell now.
Wow.
At Stefania Bell on the gram.
Previously that was someone else's block before, huh?
I guess. I don't know. But
somebody had like.
It's like that jersey number.
Exactly.
Slide just an envelope of cash and you're good to go.
I got my name back. I fought for my name. I got it back.
Stefania has allowed is allowing that person, the person who previously occupied Stefania Bell on Instagram, a 1 week stay at the Chateau de Cône, an incalculable amount of value there because of its dwellings.
Honestly, the person might be there now. It's so big, Stefania wouldn't even know.
Good point. All right, we got to talk about some football. So time now for some news or noise.
Extra, extra, we don't want it.
News or noise?
Loud noises. Let's head on over back to the Chateau de Cône and Stefania. Eagles running back Miles Sanders is now being called by the team as week-to-week. Lower body injury, that's very NHL of them. Hello, Rico, as well. Tell us more about Miles Sanders. Is this news or noise?
I think the Eagles would like you to think it's noise in a way, but I think it's news because it's starting running back in the NFL who's expected to carry the ball all the time. We've already heard Deuce Staley say he doesn't see any reason to monitor his workload. If you're talking about a guy where there's going to be no monitoring of his workload, you need him healthy. And to start the preseason with anything that puts you on the injury report, and you don't know, right? You said very NHL style. That means lower body injury, is it an ACL or is it a hangnail? You don't have any way of knowing. Now, Tim McManus, who covers the team for us, said that he heard from a source that this is more proactive. Rico is really trying to ruin the moment. But the bottom line is,
I
don't think this is a big deal in terms of the severity of the injury based on the reporting we're getting. but you're obviously paying close attention because there's not a lot behind him.
All right, we need a new term that's like not a clean bell of health, but like an optimistic outlook that regards or that sort of ties to a bell. Daniel, anything else you want us to get in there on Miles Sanders? Or Matthew, anything you want to chime in with just your concerns? I know you're already a little bit down on him relative to ADP.
Relative to ADP. He's being drafted at best case scenario ADP. He's already banged up. We have a small sample size on Miles Sanders. We have 5 games of him being dominant, and that was last year when they had nobody else.
Yeah, small sample size in college, too, to be
what?
Honest. Small sample size in college. He was a backup. Now, there's a good reason. He was behind Saquon.
Of course.
But still, small sample size there as well.
Small sample size there as well. Now, listen, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth because I also have Clyde Edwards-Helaire at number 6. I have him as a first-rounder. So, you know, my argument there is that the small sample size isn't on CEH, which obviously there is, but there's a much larger sample size on the lead running back for Andy Reid. We have never seen a lead running back for Doug Peterson because he hasn't had one. Right. He has been a running back by committee guy as long as he has been in Philadelphia. But certainly, look, as somebody who will not be having any of Miles Sanders this year because his ADP is out of control, this is yet another thing that just, you know, makes you raise your eyebrows and a little bit of concerning. I have one question for Stefania, though. She said, you know, Rico ruining the mood. Is this the only time that Rico's ruined the mood?
I'm going to put, you know what, right back
Stefania.
Hey,
audio issues.
Daniel, where's the air horn? Thank you. Yeah. So, right on cue.
Phil
I
Jakes.
May not be there, but my producer knows how to handle that question.
That's right.
You moving along here.
Dalvin Cook. Contract talks with the Vikings have stalled. He says his focus is on week 1, Phil Jakes. News or noise?
Yeah, this is news to me, Daniel. And I think people who are thinking about, like, my focus is on week 1 would say, oh, this is good news, right? I mean, contract. But it's news in the sense that I thought within the last 5 days this deal was going to get done, and it is not now done. And I don't want to speak for Dalvin Cook or his representation here, but one of the fears with the new CBA is that these players who don't have a new deal but want a new deal are going to report to training camp and all that, like George Kittle, like Joey Bosa, like Dalvin Cook. But what you grow wary of is Stefania was just describing the spectrum of major injuries in the lower body from whatever, an ACL to a hangnail. Is that a hangnail turns into like a 2 to 3 week hangnail, right? Like, if you're a player and you're on the precipice of a long-term contract and there are games coming up and you're dealing with anything whatsoever, Matthew, does your motivation go up or down to be on the football field? I think the answer is pretty obvious. You're more likely to protect yourself here. So it's news. That being said, I want to add that yesterday on NFL Live, Adam Schefter did note that while contract talks have stalled for now, this could change at any moment. So we'll continue to monitor this. It's not to say this couldn't get done by the time the season begins.
It's interesting. You know, I hadn't thought about it that way, but you're right. I mean, obviously, like, he could be there accruing credit, you know, to get towards his free agency year, you know, completely dissimilar to Le'Veon Bell, who just stayed away entirely. So he's there, but you're right. Like, I don't think I can go today. My leg's feeling a little sore, whatever it is. Right. You know, I got a hangnail, whatever.
We're not saying this player. This is protective. It's the same way that Davis Bertans in the NBA sat out. You know, you got these guys who are banged up. Could they have played if it was a normal non-bubble situation? Probably. Maybe,
right.
I should say. But players are going to protect themselves a little bit.
Where do you have Dalvin Cook right now ranked, knowing all of this?
I believe I just moved him down last night to 5 behind Alvin Kamara.
Interesting, because I moved him ahead of Alvin Kamara because my thought was the other way to look at this is that, like, okay, now he's playing for a contract. Mm-hmm. You know, that injury concerns have been a long-standing issue with Dalvin Cook. He has 1 year of elite production,
right,
given how high he was drafted. He has 1 year, and so, you know, does he basically go out, ball out, and prove that he is worth a massive amount of money?
I just want to say I love this because neither one of you are wrong right now. You know what I mean? Like, both are strategies that we've got to think about as the way you head into it. So just the way to think about it.
Never.
100%.
Matthew Berry.
I look forward to the start of the season in which there will be many times where we're both wrong.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
This is the best time of the year. Yes,
Bryce
sir.
Love, Matthew Berry.
Yeah.
First team snaps during practice Wednesday. J.P. Finley of NBC Sports Washington reports. Is this news or noise for Bryce Love?
I think it's a little bit of news, and I'll tell you why. We know the Washington football team starting running back job is up for grabs. The release of Darius Geis, who was expected to have that role, has opened up an opportunity there. Antonio Gibson, and everyone loves Antonio Gibson, and I'm on board with that as well. But the thing is that Antonio Gibson might be used more as a gadget player than as a starting running back. You know, could he be used Christian McCaffrey style? Sure, but could he be used more because he's taken reps with both the wide receivers and the running back groups? Look, you've got Adrian Peterson, who is a veteran, who's a clubhouse leader. Fair enough. But I don't think people remember how good Bryce Love was at Stanford. Now, it's been a while, obviously, because he got injured his senior year. He basically a redshirt year last year as well. But Bryce Love has a chance to be special in this league. Had he not been injured, Field, he would have been a much higher draft pick. And so Bryce Love, who's basically free in drafts, is very much worth a late-round flyer because, look, this is a team that's going to be rebuilding. Adrian Peterson's not the future. Bryce Love is. There's a chance Bryce Love leads this backfield on a better than you think Washington offense. It's not going to be great, but it's not going to be awful.
I want to further this conversation at some point, but I'm a little bit weary of suggesting that both he and Antonio Gibbs, like, you know, I don't know that this backfield can produce even one fantasy relevant running back. So I don't want to suggest that two were good. So let's revisit this Washington backfield at some point a little bit deeper into the preseason.
If I can just say one comment off of that, I agree with you. What I'm saying is that I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that it is Antonio Gibson. I think there's a non-zero chance that the fantasy relevant running back on this team is Bryce Love. That's all I'm saying.
All right, next up, Field Yates. Breshad Perriman is who we're talking about. Jets quarterback Sam Darnold said Perriman is, quote, super explosive and everything you want in a receiver. Rich Cimini of ESPN reports. News or noise?
Yeah, it's noise. Yeah, a guy who ran one of the fastest 40 times in his entire draft class is going to be super explosive.
I want it to be news, though.
Everything you want in a receiver, I think this is leadership from Sam Darnold, right? I mean, what's he going to say? The guy's a total dud and we shouldn't have given him that contract this offseason? No, he's going to say the right things about Breshad Perriman. I will just say that I did recently, and we had this conversation.
I sort of think Julio Jones is everything you want in a wide receiver.
I mean, that's me.
If I get a vote.
I guess in Sam Darnold's defense, like, he's been throwing to, like, you know, guys off the, you know, off the free agent street market last year. So the scrap heaps. So yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins, sort of everything you want in a wide receiver. You know what I'm saying?
We reflect on our Jets Double Trouble podcast. I had mentioned how the idea that, like, at the time I had Jameson Crowder ranked ahead of Breshad Perriman, Crowder a bit safer, Perriman a bit more explosive upside. I have subsequently reversed those two players in my rankings to reflect that, you know what, at wide receiver 42 or something, I should be chasing upside as opposed to chasing a guy.
Come on in. The water's warm.
Thank you.
I love me some Breshad Perriman.
All right.
That was a top five fantasy wide receiver of the fantasy playoffs last year.
Yes, like he was.
Very small sample size and it's a different team, but showed why he was a first round pick so many years ago.
You want a receiver for fantasy when he's top five. All right, Daniel.
All right, last one we have. Matthew, this is for you. Jerron Brown, the 49ers signed Brown on Wednesday. Adam Schefter of ESPN reports. Maybe you've heard of him. News or noise on Jerron Brown?
Adarn?
Once you said he was of ESPN, I remember who it was. But prior to that, I wasn't familiar
wasn't
with
sure.
Adam Schefter.
Unsure.
I feel like I've seen him once or twice in the hallways, but I'm not sure. Point him out to me next time
if you can. Sure.
I think this is news in this sense. I don't think it's news relevant to Jerron Brown, who I actually have always sort of liked. You know, he's just sort of bounced around the NFL, but, like, you know, when he's gotten an opportunity, I feel like he's done a thing here too. But I think it's news just in the sense that, like, they're worried. I mean, right? So you think about Debo, you think about Jalen Hurd, just like, you know, just, and we're going to get into the 49ers here in a second. So I think it is news just in the fact that there are concerns about the wide receiver depth on the 49ers, and this is another indication that it might be pretty thin after George Kittle.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get into the 49ers. Like you said, we'll have a lot of Stefania coming up because of that wide receiver conversation. But Field, why don't you give us a little word from one of our sponsors?
I will do that, Daniel, but I'm first going to start by asking you guys a question. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car insurance? That's 15% on top of money Geico could already save you.
I did know that.
So what are you waiting for? A day of zero show violations from old man Barry so I can finally get a word in edgewise here?
That ain't going to happen.
As that sounds, that's probably never going to happen. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.
Double trouble.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
It is with great pleasure and honor. Really, it's just one of the highlights of my year to be discussing the defending NFC champions, the Super Bowl attending, not winning, sorry, San Francisco 49ers in our Double Trouble segment today. Of course, we'll have plenty of Stefania insight as they are her beloved San Francisco 49ers. But Matthew, I was thinking about Raheem Mostert yesterday and just sort of—
Were you?
Yeah, I was. No, because we—
What did that look like? Was that like this?
Why do you ask things like— why do you ask—
Wow, that's a show violation.
That is.
Not today, Field.
Interrupting me. That might be like a double whammy. That's a four-point violation right there. Might as well retire.
My alarm went off. I don't know why
like
my alarm went off.
His alarm went off for 10:15.
Yeah. You know what happened is that Matthew's got several alarms in the morning. That's one of them is like, I'm going to snooze through this one. Second one's like, I'm going to snooze through that one.
Yeah.
Third one is like, if I don't leave now, they're probably going to get mad at me for showing up late.
Yes.
And this is the break glass in case of emergency.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I was so tired.
This is the call in. You can maybe catch the second half of the show alarm.
Yeah. Anyways, I was thinking about Raheem Mostert.
Yes, sir.
Just like this.
Perfect. Right? That's what I want to know.
So, because I was thinking about how to frame the conversation around Raheem Mostert. And you and I have him ranked. You have him 25. I'm at 26. Daniel has him at 24. His ADP amongst running backs right now is 28th. I don't know that there's a world that exists where Raheem Mostert finishes as like a mid-tier RB2. Because if you think about it, and one of your great columns this offseason, I think this was the lead to 100 Facts.
Correct.
It was a blind resume of two players, and you painted two very different narratives, and they both were Raheem Mostert.
Correct.
And so the reason why I bring that back, and a great column you should go find in the archives of ESPN.com, is that doesn't it sort of feel like Raheem Mostert has one of two outcomes? One is he's like a top 12 running back behind an incredible offensive line with great explosiveness and one of the best play callers we've seen in the past 25 years. And two, he's so involved in the timeshare with Tevin Coleman and Jerick McKinnon and a bunch of other players that you can't even use him in fantasy football. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, we have 45, which is more averaging his potential outcomes.
Yeah, the argument there would be is that he's both. That he starts off red hot, and then in the middle of the season, McKinnon looks explosive, Coleman's healthy, whatever, and then all of a sudden he goes away. You know, we've talked about, you know, Kyle, son of Mike, who is famously known for, you know, just shuffling his running backs and shenanigans and, you know, all of it. And you know, never trust a Mike Shanahan running back. And so there's that chance as well. Because you remember, Raheem Mostert did nothing in the first start of last year. It was all Tevin Coleman.
Right.
Right? And then over the second half, it was Raheem Mostert and more even towards the playoff run. And so there's a chance where he finishes as running back 25-ish, where he's just like, he's a top 12 guy for the first half of the season, and then he just falls out of favor over the second half, or some version thereof. That's the concern. The concern on Mostert isn't the talent, because I think we see it. Right. Listen, he's not a pass catcher, but he's an explosive guy. He's somebody that can score a ton of touchdowns. This is worth noting. Over his final nine games.
Okay.
And again, this goes to the playoffs. So this includes like the Super Bowl. This is all during the playoff run. But over the final nine games that Raheem Mostert played, he scored 12 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got 16 touchdown season potential. This is going to be one of the best offensive lines in football, which got even better in the offseason when they stole Trent Williams from my Washington team. Ah, Bruce Allen. Anyway, but it's going to be a really good offensive line field, and it's going to be a very run-heavy team as well. This is a team that was top five in rush percentage, top five in red zone rush percentage. We know this. So if you're the lead running back of a team that runs a lot behind one of the league's best offensive lines, good things can happen. Mostert was amazing down the stretch, and if you look at his fantasy points again, just like in the playoffs, like top 10 running back.
Right.
The concern is no passing game usage, and there are multiple running backs in that backfield. He made my love list, my others receiving votes in the love list. By the way, love hate now out on ESPN.com. I'm a company man. Please go check that out. I believe that restructuring their deal. Yes, they have McKinnon, okay? But McKinnon has been out of football for 2 years.
Yep.
They have Tevin Coleman, who's never played all 16 games in an NFL season. And look, they always find guys. Jeff Wilson Jr. all of a sudden comes in and has 3 touchdowns. But ultimately, I believe that they could have told Raheem Mostert to go pound sand, and they didn't. And they said, you know what? We're going to reward you. We're going to throw you a bone. As well, which is what that seemed like to me. I mean, you're the contract guy, you're the NFL insider guy, but that seemed like that was done entirely to placate Raheem Mostert when they didn't have to.
Yeah, I mean, he requested a trade. So they didn't have to in the sense that, they probably still wouldn't. They could have just done nothing and also not traded him. But you're right. I didn't think it was. I will say this, though. This was not a massive gesture of gratitude. Like, they didn't give him a bunch of extra money. They sort of just moved money around, which is fine. They quelled his concerns about being traded. But still, money aside, though, I think fortune tends to favor the bold in fantasy football. Yeah. We always talk about how, like, you don't want to play for third or fourth in your league. And so along those lines, he's a not quite boom or bust, but he's a boom or potentially disappoint player, not because of his own ability, but because of the backfield he plays in. And, I mean, we keep using the word explosive, and these are the stats that Kyle backs it up with. He gained 5-plus yards on nearly 44% of his carries last year. He gained 10-plus yards on nearly 17% of his carries last year. Both of those were the best amongst all running backs with 100-plus carries. Very impressive guy.
This is going to sound a little bit crazy. So I'm at running back 25. Like I said, he made the love list in the others receiving votes. He's going in the early ninth round. Mm. You're either in or out on Raheem Mostert. I am in on Raheem must start. Throwing it out there. Just trying it. Whatever. A little test balloon.
Is there a way to throw it back? Can we edit that out of the audio podcast version?
Wrong. If you guys are not watching at home, if you guys are watching at home, I wish you could have seen Daniel, who just like gave like a little shake of his head. Like, you know how like you taste something that's really bitter and you're just like, oh, I don't want that.
Especially when someone else makes it for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, really good.
Yeah, that was Daniel. Daniel just gave like a little head shake like, no, we're not in on Raheem must start, which means, of course, I'm just going to pound it. But here's the other thing. There's a wide range of outcomes for Raheem Mostert. But I would argue at the top of that range of outcomes is Derrick Henry. Like 16 rushing touchdowns, top 10, best case scenario. Yeah. Like I believe that is within the range of outcomes for Raheem Mostert is Derrick Henry last year. Yeah. 16 rushing touchdowns, top 10 fantasy running back, and a guy that you can get in the ninth round.
Part of the reason why it may not be super likely, though, is because Jerick McKinnon is back. Matthew referenced this, Stefania, as we bring you back in to talk about your beloved 49ers. Jerick McKinnon is back after basically two straight seasons not being involved with the 49ers at all, other than occasional practices. What's the latest on his health and his recovery from that major knee injury?
Field, it sounds like he's looking really good to start training camp. And of course, we hear a lot of buzz when people are trying to spin things positive, but the Niners have been pretty straightforward. Kyle Shanahan has always been pretty straightforward about the health of his running backs. And last year, I was at training camp when Jerick McKinnon returned to practice. And you know how long that lasted? He was there for, I think, a day or two, and then he had soreness in his knee, and we never saw him again. This can happen after an ACL reconstruction, and it's why we say you never take for granted that somebody's automatically going to come back. Now, it turns out that the offseason, having the entire last year off, may have really helped him because there are reports about how strong he's running, that he's been put through really strenuous workouts and has tolerated them really well. And the other thing that I find interesting, just for a potential functionality point, is that Jimmy Garoppolo has been talking about how great he's running routes and how he has the feel of a receiver. This backfield is crowded, as you guys have pointed out, and it's really hard to know who has Kyle Shanahan's trust. Everybody's had injury concerns, the ups and downs with Tevin Coleman, who started last year and then immediately had an injury that cost him a few weeks. I think Jerick McKinnon has a chance to really make a case for himself. And you talk about moving money around. He took a salary reduction, base salary, $6.5 million down to just under $1 million. So he's trying to get a spot on this roster.
Yeah, he's making the minimum you can make for a player of his tenure now in base salary, Stefania. I want to ask you about the receivers before. I think we can double back to McKinnon in just a second here. But the 49ers have a laundry list of injuries at wideout. Walk us through what's the latest with Deebo Samuel.
Well, Deebo Samuel is the big one, right? Because he had this stress fracture that cropped up in the summer. We already heard about it. He had surgery on it. The surgery is relatively minor, but it does take a while to recover. He was put at a 10 to 12 week projected recovery timeline, which would have him getting healthy right around week one, which sounds great, but it's not the time you want to throw him back into full speed game when those injuries, if you return too quickly, have a high incidents of refracture. We've seen that before in the NFL. You've already heard John Lynch say, don't be surprised if he misses the first few weeks of the season. I would not be surprised if they keep him on the physically unable to perform list to start. That would mean 6 weeks without him. Obviously, Jalen Hurd potentially gone for the year. And so the wide receiver, you mentioned the signing of Jerron Brown. I think that it's very up for grabs right now.
All right, Stefania, I'm sad to hear all that news for you and your 49ers, but injuries do create opportunity. Matthew, just do you want to add anything to Jerick McKinnon or anything you want to get and sneak in there about his value? Are you good?
Yeah, listen, 100%. If you want to do a late round flyer, we've looked at it. You look at the running back distribution last year from weeks 5 to 10 when Coleman, Breida, and Mostert were all active. You know, or even weeks 14 to 17 when all three were active. Again, forgetting just sort of the players, you look at this is weeks 5 through 10. 98 touches, 81 touches, 28 touches. In essence, basically, I think the way Shanahan has run his offense is that two running backs are going to have fantasy value. And I think and we've seen McKinnon be successful, and so I have no problem if you want to do a late-round flyer on him. But I actually think Tevin Coleman is more of the underrated asset here, who's going as running back 40. He's undrafted in over 40% of leagues. Again, remember, of all the running backs, who's been Kyle Shanahan the longest? It's Tevin Coleman, who was with him in Atlanta and who Kyle brought over to San Francisco with him.
Yeah, I felt like with Tevin Coleman last year, it was blips on the radar where it was good. That's why I'm having a harder time trusting Tevin Coleman. I have him lower in my ranks as a result of that than you do. Let's talk about Deebo Samuel, because Stefania mentioned the possibility he begins the season on PUP. That actually might be a good thing for those of us that are playing fantasy football for clarity's sake, right?
Sure.
If you're missing at least the six first games of the season, you're not wondering if he returns in week three, do I bother playing him or not? You have him right now at wide receiver 50. I've got him at wide receiver 39. You're clearly, obviously, impacted by the injury that he sustained, that Jones fracture. Are you out on Deebo Samuel, or are you just basically absent being in a league where everybody else is risk-averse, probably not going to have him on your roster? Because 50, that feels unlikely he'll last until wide receiver 50 in most drafts.
Yeah, I mean, again, like if we can get more clarity on his injury situation, you just heard Stefania say, like, you know, she thinks there's a chance he starts on the physically unable to perform list, which would mean he's out the first 6 weeks.
Right.
And then you're not starting him in week 7. You want to see him, right? So week 8 is the first time, you know, game 8, in essence, is the first time in which you would feel reasonably comfortable potentially starting him.
Yeah.
So you're talking about half a season of Deebo Samuel, and that's best case scenario.
Right.
Maybe it lingers longer. Maybe he doesn't show much in week 7, so now you're like, okay, let me see it again. You know what I mean? Like, you just sort of have to play this out. Having said that, look, had the injury to Deebo was going to be on the love list. Deebo was going to be a big
breakout
sleeper.
Break,
like,
no doubt.
Second half of last year, he was the ninth best wide receiver in fantasy, total points.
That's the part.
He's a special player.
I love the player.
There were
so many things he did well last year. He had 8.1 yards per catch. After the catch, that was best amongst wide receivers who had at least 55 receptions last year. So he's a special talent. I love the way that Kyle Shanahan was using him. Not just as a receiver, but a runner, too. He was great in the Super Bowl. He has been great in big moments already for the 49ers. Daniel, what do you want to know about Deebo Samuel?
Just a strategy question for you guys. If you had an IR spot in your league, and we knew ahead of time that he was going to be on PUP, so like going into your draft, it's like, I could draft him and put him on the IR. Does that change, you know, maybe I'm not going to target him early, but I would,
the only issue is that the earliest he will be put on the PUP list is the final roster reduction, which I believe is September 6th this year.
Oh, wow.
So unless if you're drafting week 1, which is the nights before Chiefs Texans, yes. But up until that point, I don't believe he'll be IR eligible in ESPN because he'll just be on the PUP list like every other player on PUP.
He doesn't need to be IR eligible. He just needs to be you need to know that he's going to be.
Right.
So if the news has come out, if you or this young and up and comer Adam Schefter, is that what you said his name was?
Yes.
Yeah. Adnan? The Schefter fellow, like if you or him or, you know, Mort or somebody breaks the news that, hey, actually, this is what's going to happen with him, then I understand Daniel's question. And certainly because we know, you draft him there and then you're like, okay, when the season starts or when he's officially placed there, then I can put him there.
Yep.
Especially given that we expect most leagues should have more extra roster spots this year, given that we're going into a season with COVID-19. I would say the one thing that I'm out on him at his current ADP, because his current ADP on ESPN is wide receiver 31. He's going ahead of Marquise Brown.
Right.
He's going ahead of Michael Gallup, two guys that are on my love list. And so those are two guys that I think have big years this year. I'm not taking Deebo Samuel over them, considering the fact there's a chance he misses half the season.
Injuries create opportunity. Is there anybody else in this wide receiver group that you're bothering using a draft pick on? Most specifically, Brandon Ayuk, their first-round pick out of Arizona State, the 25th overall player. They traded up to get Ayuk, a guy from Arizona State, second straight year, a first-round wideout for the Sun Devils. You interested at all or no?
Yeah, I mean, just late round. Like, I'm at wide receiver 51. I think you have him at 50. So we both have him as a wide receiver 6. I mean, he's a wide receiver 6 with upside. Look, he's still a rookie. It's still a run-first offense. That passing offense is still going to go through George Kittle. Can there be success beyond George Kittle? Sure. Again, we saw it with Deebo last year. You know, and so I don't mind it, but he's a rookie in a year in which there's not a lot of there's no preseason games, limited practice time. It's a run first offense. You know Kittle's going to get his. You've got some other pieces around there like Trent Taylor, like Kendrick Bourne, like Richie James. Like, so I get the appeal of Brandon Ayuk, and like I said, I ranked him as, you know, top 50-ish wide receiver. So I don't mind a late round flyer on him, but he's not anything other than that for me. He's not somebody I'm targeting and trying to go into the draft.
There's a very recent history of first-round wide receivers not having a ton of fantasy success. So I think along all those lines, a flyer for all of us. George Kittle is not a complicated player for fantasy football. Each of us has him as tight end 2 this year, behind only Travis Kelce. So the conversation surrounding George Kittle really isn't about whether we think he'll be really, 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 really good. He led all pass catchers in yards after the catch, not just this past year, but the year before that as well. He has got paid, and deservedly so. But just hear me out here. I want to walk you through this hypothetical.
Sure.
If you are willing to pay the premium on George Kittle,
yeah,
what is the opportunity cost to the rest of your roster if you do so? So, Matthew, let's imagine, and when I say pay the premium on George Kittle, I think it means towards the back end of the second round, right? Okay. I don't think too many people are reaching for him at pick 12 or something like that, but let's say it's like pick 18, 19, maybe even 20. We've pulled this up, and let's just imagine that you have an early round pick and you land yourself a top 5 running back. Maybe a Saquon Barkley, right? And you come around the bend and you end up with someone like George Kittle. This is an ideal second overall pick draft that we have for those that are listening up on a graphic. For those that are listening, here's how it shakes out, Matthew. Saquon Barkley.
And we should be clear here, Field, that we're using ESPN ADP. So standard 10-team league, one quarterback league, no tight end premium scoring, just a standard down the middle 10-team ESPN league.
And here's how it shakes out. Again, Saquon Barkley, this would be the second overall pick. Then you come around in the round 2 with George Kittle. That would be pick 19.
Yeah.
Third round, you could, if you wanted to pay the premium on a quarterback as well, land yourself Patrick Mahomes. And then here's how your wide receiver group shakes out with your next 3 picks: Juju Smith-Schuster, Calvin Ridley, and Robert Woods as your flex, with Kareem Hunt as your RB2 in this situation. So I think, Matthew, if you just examine that roster, my initial instinct would be, my goodness, my RB2 spot might be a little less desirable because Kareem Hunt is still the backup in his own backfield. It's a pretty strong roster coming out of the gate through 7 rounds with George Kittle as your tight end.
It really is. And so it's a really interesting kind of thing. Like, because you've heard of, if you're in on fantasy Twitter, right, which is this whole kind of little universe, right? But like, there's a lot of talk about zero RB,
right,
which is basically waiting on running back and then hoping guys, you know, that other guys get injured and then that, you know, players pop, right? Like Kareem Hunt is a fantastic zero RB candidate because obviously if anything were to happen to Nick Chubb,
yep,
he would be a top 5 running back. And we think he has value even with Chubb in the lineup.
Yep.
But this is sort of a modified zero RB, which I think is really interesting, which is basically one RB.
Right.
So you lock in one of those first 5 guys. So in your case, Saquon, but whether it was Zeke or Kamara or CMC, any one of those guys, you come back around and you get Kittle in the second round. Okay, great. Now you've got an elite running back. You've got an elite tight end. Now Mahomes, again, going off of ESPN ADP, if Mahomes is still there in the third, we assume Lamar Jackson is gone at some point in the second. You know, but whether Jackson or Mahomes, whatever, you get a quarterback there. Now you've got a top 2 quarterback, top 2 running back, top 2 tight end.
Yeah, pretty strong.
Okay. Now you get into the 4th round, and again, just going by ADP, you're looking at a choice between Juju Smith-Schuster, Allen Robinson, who made the love list and is always undervalued, Odell Beckham Jr., somebody like that.
Love Odell this year, myself.
Yeah, love Odell. I've seen Thielen in that range. Adam Thielen is in that range as well. So somebody like that. Come back around in the 5th round, By the way, here's just to give you another option here. If you didn't want to go with Juju or Allen Robinson or Odell, you know, you've got running backs there like Leonard Fournette, like David Johnson, who we both like, like Le'Veon Bell. Okay. Then look at who the wide receivers are when you get to the fifth round. You're looking at Cortland Sutton. I'm not in on Sutton this year, but A.J. Brown, Tyler Lockett, we're going to talk about him. Calvin Ridley, I know you and I both like Calvin Ridley to break out this year. Melvin Gordon's there in that fifth round. And the sixth round, my little Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, DK Metcalf, Keenan Allen, T.Y. Hilton. Like you could, even if you did a running back somewhere in that fourth or fifth round, like you're looking at a starting wide receiver of, like say you did in the fifth round and you got like Melvin Gordon in the fifth round. Your lineup, here's what your starting lineup would be. So you've got Mahomes at quarterback. You've got Barkley and like Melvin Gordon at running back. You've got Juju and A.J. Brown. Juju and like Cooper Kupp or Robert Woods at wide receiver. And George Kittle at tight end.
Yeah.
It's a very specific roster construction, but I'm in on that.
The idea is that if you have secured a premium running back early, it may open the door up to drafting an elite tight end early in a way that drafting a wide receiver in the first round, I'm not sure it affords you that luxury based off of how things have played out and the depth that you do not necessarily have at running back overall. George Hill, great player. Looking forward to finding him on a bunch of my rosters this year. Daniel.
But the underlying point of this, and you go read my draft day manifesto because it makes sort of the same point. The underlying is that there is insane depth at wide receiver. And understanding the fact that there is insane depth at wide receiver allows you to get a lot more creative with the other positions. Because even if you wait a round or two more than you normally would on wide receiver, you're still going to wind up with some really good guys.
Daniel?
You know, guys, when it matters most, trust ADT. Now more than ever, you need peace of mind with 24/7 rapid response monitoring from the leader in home security. HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, and fire and carbon monoxide detectors that are connected to 24/7 monitoring controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. Be an everyday hero by staying safe at home while ADT helps protect you and your loved ones. ADT has 9 owned and operated U.S.-based monitoring centers and is the largest security network in the U.S. ADT takes protecting your health seriously. Rest assured that all ADT employees are taking critical measures to help protect everyone's health, including offering contactless installation and using extra protective and sanitation tools. Protect now, pay later with low, flexible monthly payments to fit your budget. Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT.
When we talk about the Seahawks, it all begins with
Mr. Unlimited.
Russell Wilson, of course. And so based off where they're being drafted, and Russell Wilson in ADP right now is quarterback 4, right around the 5th round to 6th round turn, I think there is a pretty strong argument that Russell Wilson might be the safest quarterback investment that you can make in fantasy football this year. Now, I'm not saying he's the best investment because we have Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes both ranked a little bit higher. Now,
You have Dak at 3 too, right?
I have Dak at 3 as well. Yeah.
Okay.
I have 5 players ahead of Russell Wilson. So it's not that
right.
I have him as my number one quarterback. But again, so think about the premium you're paying on Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. They'll both have a solid season. I have no doubt about this. But remember last year, before the injury and before the playoff run, Patrick Mahomes was not worth the premium that people paid on him last year. It's just true. Just look at the numbers.
There was regression to the mean.
Right. It's possible that could happen with Lamar Jackson as well this year. And people are drafting him like 8th to 12th to 15th overall. So you go back to Russell Wilson, who again, somewhere between the 5th and 6th round, that you know what you're getting, right? He's got 30 touchdowns in 3 straight seasons.
Only quarterback to do that.
Yep.
Only current quarterback to have done that over the last 3 years. Yeah, yes.
No one else has even done it twice. He has over 340 rushing yards in the past 3 seasons. Again, pretty solid, right? This is a guy who's an incredible runner, incredible thrower. He threw 63 end zone passes last year. That was the most any quarterback has thrown since the stat was first tracked by ESPN in 2006. So over a 13-14 season sample size. So I just think that Russell
And by the way, never misses a game.
Literally never missed a game.
Yeah.
Now he had
they rip off his leg and he puts on some bionic leg and hobbles out there. But guy does not miss a game.
He does not miss a game. And he's got great upside week to week. He has had some duds, no doubt about that.
He's got Unlimited upside.
So you buy in the idea that he is the safest investment in a quarterback that you can make this year, factoring in price and player and all that?
Yes. Yeah. There's a very high floor with, as you mentioned, some upside. There's a chance that they let Russ cook.
Yeah.
Which, you know, there's been talk about that. I feel like there's talk about that every year. I feel like he always starts slow and then he gets going here. But, yeah, look, I have him at five again. We talked about this the other day when we were talking about Deshaun Watson, because I have him one spot ahead of Watson. You have them flipped. In a year in which there is so much unknown, when there is, you know, when there are so many changes, and again, no preseason, limited practices, I want the guys in the situations that are familiar to them.
Right.
And so Russell Wilson, same coaching staff, same offensive system, same skill guys around him.
Yeah.
Like Russell, now obviously Mahomes has that as well, as does Lamar Jackson. But the argument there for Mahomes and Jackson, for them to be worth where they're going in the second round, is they not only need to be number one and two, they need to be significantly better than everyone else. That's, so even if they finish one or two, it's not worth it. They need to be, like, Lamar Jackson wasn't only the number one quarterback last year, he was number one by a lot.
Sure.
And if he's only number one by a little bit, then he's completely, he has not returned the value of his draft pick.
All right, so I think we agree on Russell Wilson. Again, maybe the safest player at the position in fantasy football this year. Chris Carson is a player who has immense upside. We've seen it over the past couple of years, right? But is he being undervalued right now in fantasy football? And here's the reason why I asked that question, Matthew, is that last year he was RB12 on a points per game basis. His ADP right now is RB16. You have him ranked as RB15. I have him as RB18. But it's not his ADP relative to running backs that's disconcerting right now. It's his ADP relative to all players in fantasy that you are concerned with, because you have him much higher in your overall ranks than his ADP would suggest. He's in the fourth round. You've got him at the top of the third round right now.
Hey, Lisa, take a wide shot here. I just want to make, for people that are watching at home, can you take, there we go. Thank you very much. Feel, lean back, because I don't want to, like, social distancing, but I'm just, you know what I'm going to do? That is me ringing the bell for Chris Carson. That is me trying to bang the drum for Chris Carson, but we don't have a drum. But what are we doing, people? What are we doing without Chris Carson? I don't understand this. Like, I have a 23 overall. People, I don't understand why people don't appreciate how great Chris Carson is. Okay? Last 2 years, here's the entire list of players with at least 1,100 rushing yards and 9 rushing touchdowns. 9 total touchdowns, I should say. Last 2 years. Ezekiel Elliott, Chris Carson. That's the entire list. Zeke and Chris Carson. Everyone's like, well, he gets injured. Well, okay, last 2 years, he's played 29 games. That's the same as Alvin Kamara. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, we don't have a problem drafting Alvin Kamara in the top five. He's played, you know, more than Saquon, I believe. So Chris Carson is somebody who is healthier than you think he is. People are like, oh, what about the fumbles? You know who doesn't care about fumbles? Pete Carroll. He fumbled last year. Pete Carroll's like, go back on out there. And then you think about, well, there's competition. Competition? Like, how many years are we that, like, oh, Rashad Penny's going to take over? Like, that's been asked and answered.
Well, Carlos Hyde.
Hyde, who's on his sixth team in 4 years.
Ran for 1,000 yards last year.
I understand that. I argue that Carlos Hyde, and yet Houston still said, yeah, we're good. You know, Carlos Hyde ran for 1,000 yards last year, and yet Houston was still like, you know what? We're going to trade our best asset, DeAndre Hopkins, to get David Johnson to replace you, Carlos Hyde. That's how much they loved Carlos Hyde last year. Mm-hmm. Carlos Hyde's on his sixth team in 4 years. That's true.
Yeah, it's close to true.
It's completely true. Cleveland, Jacksonville, Kansas City, Houston.
Wow, 6 in 4 years.
He's right?
More well-traveled than Stefania.
Yeah. So, anyway, the point is...
My ears still hurt.
Fine, I'll do it again.
I would prefer you don't.
Well, just move up Chris Carson in your rankings then, my friend.
Got him.
Eighth in carries per game last season. Fifth. Fifth in carries per game last season. He gets a massive workload. I'm not worried about Carlos Hyde. I'm not worried about Rashad Penny, who might start the season on the physically unable to perform list.
Yep.
DJ Dallas, when they drafted DJ Dallas, you know what Pete Carroll said? Can't wait to see him on special teams. That was the first quote out of Pete Carroll's house.
I thought you were going to say, I can't wait to see him on the two tables.
Here. Also, too. But the first thing out of Pete Carroll's mouth at the post-game press conference was, can't wait to see this kid on special teams. Chris Carson is going to have the lead running back role on one of the best offenses in football that is run heavy. He's healthier than you think, and he's getting more involved in the passing game. 3 targets a game last year, which was nearly double than his 2018 average.
Yeah.
No one ever gives love to Chris Carson except me. This guy. Every single year, I bang the drum for Chris Carson. Every single year, he makes the love list. Every single year, he gets underdrafted. Every single year, he produces. 23rd overall. I'm as a second-round pick.
That's a third round.
High third, late second.
There you go.
But he's going like in the middle fourth, late fourth.
That was passion. I loved it. I loved it.
I'm just, yeah. Give me some Chris Carson. All in on Chris Carson.
Okay, I'm going to give you a chance to sort of debrief. Not just like cool off.
Debrief. What's debriefing?
Debrief is what I said.
Oh, debrief. I thought you said debrief.
I'm going to give you a chance to cool off, though.
Yeah.
By reading something for us.
No, sure. Is it about Chris Carson? Because I'm down for that.
It's about ways that you can watch Chris Carson on Sunday, Matthew Berry.
Okay. Hi there, football fans living in apartments in big cities. Sympathizing with all of you out there who want every live game every Sunday afternoon, but who can't get DirecTV where you live. Well, I have some good news for you.
What's the good news?
Now you can stream 2020 NFL Sunday Ticket on your favorite devices, no satellite required, and get every live out-of-market game every Sunday afternoon. Go online to NFLSundayTicket.tv right now to see if you are eligible. Why watch only one Sunday out-of-market game when you can watch them all, including Chris Carson? Catch every game with NFLSundayTicket.tv. And if you use the promo code ESPN2020 at checkout, you'll save 15%, which is a pretty good deal. Once again, promo code ESPN2020, and you save 15% at NFLSundayTicket.tv. Don't miss any of the action. Head to NFLSundayTicket.tv today. Use the promo code ESPN2020, and you're welcome.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com today, or just stop by.
All right, Field. Now it's time to talk about Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. Which one of these Seahawks receivers should be drafted first? Or is there another pass catcher on this offense that's worth drafting? Let's get into that.
So I am going to commit what I believe to be a little bit of a cardinal sin here, which is speaking out of both sides of my mouth for fantasy football purposes.
Sure.
But I would prefer to roster DK Metcalf this year, despite the fact that I have Tyler Lockett ranked higher than DK Metcalf. And here is the issue with Tyler Lockett. He is a marvelous, marvelous talent, right? The guy has been unbelievable. He's an incredible value for them at $8 million per year. Last year, he led the NFL in red zone targets, 23, and catches, 17, in the red zone. All right?
Mm-hmm.
I've got him a wide receiver, 24. His ADP right now is wide receiver, 17. And there's where I have the issue. Because if you look last year at Tyler Lockett, and I know that anybody here who has rostered him remembers this last year.
Oh,
Tyler
yeah.
Lockett was a yo-yo player last year. If you can pull up the full screen here on some of the splits for Tyler Lockett. In 2019, this is Tyler Lockett and a handful of other players that I have ranked ahead of you, Matthew, in my wide receiver rankings. Cortland Sutton, Keenan Allen, Calvin Ridley, and Julian Edelman. On the right side of the screen, for those that are watching, is the consistency ranking for wide receivers developed by our great friend Tristan H. Cockcroft. Tyler Lockett was 35th in consistency ranking last year, behind guys like Sutton at 10, Allen at 19, Ridley at 15, and Julian Edelman at 5, okay?
Sure.
Last year, Tyler Lockett.
You want to argue these? Because I can argue all these.
Hold on. Tyler Lockett last year had 4 games with 6 or fewer points. A quarter of his games last season, he was duds. Last year, in terms of games with 17 plus points, he had 5. That sounds good, right? Well, all those guys that I just mentioned had more games with 17 plus points than Tyler Lockett. I'm just telling you, Matthew, that this is a player who obviously was banged up last year. I know that. I'm not naive to that. But there was a lot of up and down weeks for Tyler Lockett, and even there were weeks where even if he was salvageable, because he had 1 catch for 51 yards and a touchdown.
Okay.
He's an inconsistent player for fantasy.
Well, he killed you for a month there. Weeks 10 through 14, he absolutely crushed you. Crushed you like a grape. So I don't have an argument for that, other than the fact that he was not healthy. But prior to that, he was awesome. You mentioned about how efficient he is, and that's true. But that's his game. That's Russell Wilson's game. That's been the Seahawks' offense. Like, you think it's an outlier until they do it every year in a row, and then you're like, okay, that's just sort of how they are. That's how good Russell Wilson is. If we just talked about the fact that Russell Wilson has the highest floor of any quarterback, that we think he's the safest guy, right, at the elite level, and that this is a guy that's done 30 touchdowns each of the last 3 years. He's the only quarterback in the NFL that can say that. 30 passing touchdowns at least in each of the last three seasons. Well, who's he thrown it to? He's thrown it to Tyler Lockett. He's thrown it to DK Metcalf. And then who else? We've got some tight ends, whatever.
But whatever.
I mean, it's a very narrow target tree there in Seattle. And so, Tyler, forget consistency. Forget fantasy. Forget consistency. True or false? Tyler Lockett is a very talented NFL player.
I said that right out of the gate.
Yeah, of course
he is.
Okay. So if we buy the talent of Tyler Lockett, and we buy the fact that this is he doesn't have a lot of competition for targets.
Okay.
That we think Russell Wilson is one of the best real life NFL quarterbacks and one of the best fantasy quarterbacks.
Okay.
And that he is 30 passing touchdowns in the bank. He doesn't miss a game. I mean, I have him at 19. I'm higher than you. I'm higher than Daniel. I'm still might be too low on Tyler Lockett. I get it. He killed you for a month last year, and that's the only
Right?
No, it was weeks 10 through 14. So I mean, whatever. It was it was right when you needed him. Like
okay,
if you were counting on him to get you into the fantasy playoffs last year, he did not do that. I'm with you.
So
but fully healthy.
You talked about Matthew. All those things you talked about last year, or that you said, all those things you just mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
Weren't those true last year?
Sure.
Okay.
And by the way,
and
he still finished as wide receiver 22 last year.
Right, because he had a couple of monster games.
Okay. But
right. So he had three monster games with 10 plus catches. Here are other games in Tyler Lockett's game log in terms of targets. 2, 4, 5, 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 6.
Those are games with targets. Those are his targets.
Targets.
Yeah, targets. He's very efficient.
He's efficient, but I'm just saying, like, when we're talking about a position that has great depth, you're talking about guys that are money in the bank for 120 targets. That to me is more appealing. That's why I'm down on him this year relative to where you have him ranked. That's all.
Fair enough. We could go through that list of players that you guys that I could, you know, argue all of them. Read my stuff online, I guess. You know, like
that's fair. Daniel does have DK Metcalf ranked ahead of Tyler Lockett, along with Eric Carabell. And Daniel, so obviously Daniel, very smart man, sort of sides with me on this argument. But tell me more about why you have him ahead of Lockett.
And has a close personal connection with Russell Wilson.
That is accurate as well.
Yes.
Honestly, Field, exactly what you laid out is the reason why I like DK Metcalf more. I think the idea that as a rookie last year, seeing what we did, over 900 yards receiving, 7 touchdowns, and now another year to be able to get better, to be able to learn the position more, and the idea that Tyler Lockett has so few targets. We always talk about how crazy efficient he is, right? Can he continue to be this efficient every single year? I would just rather have a wide receiver that I feel like is going to see the ball more often than four times a game. It's really that simple.
It's cute that you can be efficient on 4 targets. I'll take the less efficient guy on 11 targets, right?
That's 100% why.
All right, so it's a healthy conversation.
All I'm going to say is that Tyler, I get sort of the up and down nature, although that's true with a lot of the wide receivers there. And, you know, like I said, I don't think Cortland Sutton gets nearly the target share he got last year, et cetera, et cetera. There's some injury concerns there. I think the quarterback change hurts Keenan Allen more than most quarterback changes this offseason. Regardless of all of that, the fact is that Tyler Lockett didn't get a lot of targets, killed you for a month, and still finished as the 22nd best wide receiver in fantasy last year.
I mean, again, I would lean on the fact that he had 3 gargantuan games that paint a very...
Do those not count?
But that's the point, Matthew, is that we're talking about a player that's more consistency, right? Like, I am targeting somebody who week to week I can count on more, and I'm not guessing, all right, is he going to have 13 catches for 152 yards and 2 touchdowns, which off the top of my head, that's what, 12, 25? That's like 40 of his points last year came in one game, Matthew.
Right.
I'm saying I want the player that's more consistent. All right, Stefania, we're going to get you back in the mix here because the Seahawks did add a tight end this offseason in Greg Olsen, who you've talked about a lot recently because of injury concerns, but they also have another player returning at the position in Will Dissly, who unfortunately missed the bulk of last season.
You're right. And it's interesting that Greg Olsen is the insurance, right? After we've been talking about him with his own health issues, obviously he's an older tight end, but clearly they felt they needed it because Will Dissly has struggled to stay on the field. Obviously a huge talent, but after he comes back from a torn patellar tendon, which is an incredibly difficult injury to come back from, and looks fantastic, by the way, to start last season. Then he gets just a handful of games in and he tears his Achilles on the opposite side. Now, if you're looking for a silver lining, he had a surgery that's called a mini open. It's minimally invasive and it's a quicker recovery. It's less soft tissue damage, if you will, in the process of going through the surgery. So it's overall, you can come back quicker, stronger, and they do really, really well. The problem is when you have consecutive major injuries like this, opposite sides, you got to wonder what's in store for the future. And we just don't know about Will Disley's health going forward.
Again, Stefania, did you have a chance to workshop what it would be if it's not necessarily a clean bill of health, but like an optimistic outlook? Or are you still sort of figuring that one out?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be healthy to start the season. So and if you're looking for health week one, I think he'll be there. The problem is, will it last? You're going to be nervous.
I think it's the number of bells. Is it one bell? Is it two bells?
Yeah, oh, that's bells. Interesting. A bell system? A scale of bells. What about cones? We could also do cones.
We use cones.
Matt, I like Will Disley.
Yeah, you do. Tell me about Will Disley and how much you like him and whether you think there's value in either one of these players, he or Greg Olsen, being drafted this
in
year.
In 30 seconds.
Yeah, I just look, Will Disley was a top seven tight end for a number of years. So, again, I love Disley in Dynasty. Olsen's, you know, I think Disley has more upside than Greg Olsen, but it's not somebody that I would want to count on. I think you need to see it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I think it's more for deeper leagues here. Before we move anything, I just want to clean one thing up real quickly. So here are the six teams that Carlos Hyde has been on the last three seasons.
You had
started
it, right?
In San Francisco,
yeah.
Then went to Cleveland, then Jacksonville. People forget he was in camp with Kansas City for a little while.
That's right.
Then went to Houston, and now
you had
with
that right
the Seahawks.
At the time, yeah.
Okay, I know.
Good job. That was good.
Me.
Okay.
And I just wanted to clean that up in case it was unclear.
Right. It's cute time. Because Matthew's so used to not being able to remember stuff off his head that like he actually nailed that one. It's like, yeah. I want to make sure, though.
You got to check yourself. All right. Let's have some trivia fun here, and we pass it over to our good friend from the bunker, Mr. Kyle Soppy.
You guys
Mr. Limited.
Sure. Limited. He's not limited.
No, he's like if Russell Wilson is Mr. Unlimited.
Kyle Soppy's
Mr. Limited.
Okay, Mr.
He's in the bunker. He can't go anywhere else.
You know what? That's
that is accurate.
True.
It's true.
Mr. Correct. Limited.
All right, Kyle, what do you got?
All right. You guys talked a lot about end zone targets today. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, both were top five last year in total end zone targets. I want you to name for me the last time we saw that prior to the Seahawks duo.
Last time a pair of teammates both ranked in the top five in end zone targets in a season. Stefania, that expression said it all right there from you. I don't feel like your initial instinct is that you're not going to get this one right.
We got multiple choice coming next week on Monday, so you guys, I'll cut you a break. Get there.
I don't even know if I want multiple choice. I just want easier
questions.
I know
you guys probably can't see this. But I'm going with Greatest Show on Turf, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt. I don't know.
Nice. That's okay. That's a really good guess right there. I don't. Yeah. Matthew, do you want to venture a guess? The last time two teammates, both top five?
Yeah, I don't think this is right at all. But I have Jimmy Graham and Marcus Colston.
Another good one from
that's
the
actually
New
good
Orleans
thought.
Saints. I have a weird feeling on this one that I might be right, but I'm sure I won't be because I've gone 0-for since nailing the first question.
Right.
Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffery had a monster.
Oh, that's a good one. Yes.
With
I actually thought about Brandon Marshall for a second. That's
I
actually a pretty
if
good
that
guess,
could
too.
Be them. That end
I
up.
I completely forgot about that.
Or potentially those.
It's not a bad guess. You guys are thinking too hard. You're going too far it's back.
Definitely Broncos with Peyton Manning then, huh?
No.
Last year.
2016.
Wait. 2016.
I mean.
I was going to say, this has got to be Davante Adams and Jordy Nelson.
Here's a hint. Yes, sir.
Snap, yeah. Jordy. You know what? I thought about Davante.
All right, Kyle. New
that one's not.
Stop it.
Some of the questions have a foreign answer that nobody could get. This one was gettable.
I don't know,
2016?
Kyle. We don't spend all day on the interwebs looking up stats like
Taylor
you
Bolton, yeah. Right there on Twitter.
Right.
Oh, good got job, it. Taylor.
There you go.
Yeah.
Do you Taylor Google? Bolton.
Yeah.
Sitting there next to your Google.
Right.
Whatever.
Come on. All right.
Why did he tag at the Seahawks too? By the way.
I think
what's he doing? Like, hey, heads up, Seahawks social media manager. I got a trivia question on a podcast.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Well,
but anyway, Taylor Bolton at TBolt10. Nice job there. He apparently got it.
I am glad that he's listening right now. Taylor Bolton is. All right. A couple of housekeeping announcements. On Sunday, the Fantasy Football Marathon on ESPN begins. It'll be on ESPN, ESPN2, the ESPN app. probably other places as well.
Yep.
Matthew, prominently involved. Stefania, prominently involved. Daniel, prominently involved. I might show up for 5 minutes or something.
Fair.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Can't wait for that. Sign up for free, ESPN.com/FFL. Come play a game with us. Sign up. Do a mock draft.
As a result of that, we will not have a podcast tomorrow. So
correct.
Friday, you'll not have a podcast. We're back on Monday. Correct, Daniel?
Accurate.
Stefania will be hanging out in the Chateau de Cone in the meantime, keeping that palatial estate upkept and everything else that goes into the maintenance of that house, Stefania. I can only imagine how much work that is for you.
My love-hate article is out on ESPN.com. Please check that out as well.
Stefania, anything else before we head into the weekend? Got big plans?
I don't have big plans, but I do want you to listen to the ESPN Daily from yesterday that aired that's about Alex Smith. I'd appreciate it.
All righty. Check out the ESPN Daily podcast. Great stuff from Pablo and Stefania. And Matthew's show violations. We've reached the end of the week. I imagine this number is pretty large. Where are we at? 50.
50.
Oh, that number go goodness. Down.
You know what?
Yesterday.
To celebrate that, I'm giving 10% off on rotopass.com. Use the promo code 06010 to celebrate my 50 burger. In terms of show violation so far this year, it's the ultimate fantasy football resource. Gets you ESPN Plus and a lot of other great sites. Rotopass.com, promo code 06010.
We'll talk to you guys on Monday.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Stay safe. We'll see you on the marathon. Peace out.
Center for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jailbait Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.